Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. It's a beautiful... Okay, it's going to be partly sunny with isolated showers. That's not bad, right? But the high today is going to be 88 degrees. Sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen trades about 15 miles per hour. If you're in a valley like Kalihi Valley, boy, it's just wonderful at the mouth. There's this great breeze coming down. Tonight, mostly cloudy, again, scattered showers. The low, I'll take that 67. I think it's something like 54 Volcano, and we're going to be talking soon with the lovely Don Crozier from Volcano Golf Course. Boy, they've got a lot going on. And so, maybe you'd like a tee time. Yes, we've got tee times. Volcano Golf Club has an 852. Makalei has an 840 and a 952. Poipu has a 950 and a 1230. And the Southside Men's Club is going out today. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And you guys, the military men, heading out today to celebrate. Yes, may you all hit the sweet spot. All right, Turtle Bay, 952. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 1010. Oh, the LPGA amateurs, women amateurs, they're on the golf course today, the Hawaii chapter, and we're going to be talking with the president in just a couple of minutes. Eva Beach Golf Course, 852, 920. Makaha East, 850, 936. Wailea Gold, 920. Emerald, 950. Blue, 920. And Maui Nui has a 1030. All right, we've got a great show for you. Don Crozier from Volcano, Bob Herrig from Sports Illustrated, Jim Nugent, Global Golf Post, Cassandra Shriver, LPGA Amateurs Hawaii Chapter, and Alex Myers, Senior Writer, Golf Digest, kicking it off. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7, licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. He writes one of my favorite golfdigest.com columns. It's called The Grind. Social, off the wall, the week in review. He's got a great buy and sell feature. And he's never had a hole in one and probably never will, so don't ask him about it. That was the instruction. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Hey, how's it going? I can safely report that that is still the case.
Okay.
No holes in one yet, unfortunately. Maybe this is the year. Fingers crossed. We'll see, but I'm guessing it won't.
Yes. Okay. Well, you just never know. I mean, stranger things have happened on the PGA Tour, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I guess so. I guess so.
Well, just let's go back to Michael, the PGA Championship. What was your takeaway from that tournament and I don't know what to call it. The things that, you know, were thrown at him for what he said about how, you know, if I had Rory's distance, I'd be the top player in the world. Anyway, what was your takeaway from that wonderful major?
Sure. There's a lot to talk about with Michael Black. I just want to say first, though, before I forget, I just heard a commercial on your show for Costco in Hawaii. I didn't know you guys had Costco up there. Now I really might consider moving to Hawaii.
Okay.
Now I know you have Costco.
Yeah.
I mean, You got it all out there.
We do. Yeah. You know what? The Iwilei store is the number one selling Costco in the United States.
Get out of here. That's amazing. I just did my weekly Costco run. I still have to unload the trunk, drop my girls off at nap. I'm talking to you. Nothing's in there that's frozen or anything, so I'll be good for a bit. But I love my weekly Costco trip. But Michael Black, it was a tremendous story, Danielle. I mean, there's no way around it. Here's a guy who's, you know, a club pro, 46 years old, you know, some people will say, oh, well, he's played in a bunch of PGA Tour events and this and that, and he's played a bunch of majors. Yeah, but he only made four cuts ever, and he hadn't made a cut in, like, I don't know, decades. And then here he doesn't just make the cut for the first time in a major. You know, he's in contention, and he, you know, you keep thinking it's one of those stories where, oh, the guy's going to shoot an 85 the next day, and he just never did that. He hung in there that final day. Of course, he made the hole in one. It was almost like it was fake.
Exactly.
I mean, it was so unbelievable. The only hole in one of the week.
It's yeah.
This guy who's been the main story all week, and not only is it a hole in one, it's a slam dunk on the like. I can't even tell you the last time. When is the last time that ever even happened in a major championship? A hole in one that just went in on the fly. So, such a magical story. And then, yeah, of course. A few days later, he does a bunch of interviews. I don't blame him at all. He's trying to cash in on his 15 minutes of fame. He's got some logos on his sleeves now. Good
yeah.
for him. Good
yeah.
for Michael Block.
Yeah.
He does a bunch of interviews. And in one interview, as you mentioned, he makes the comment, what's the difference between me and Rory? Well, you know, he's got a lot more distance. If I had Rory's distance, I'd be one of the best players in the world. People went nuts about this. I don't understand. First of all, it's kind of a laid-back interview and whatever. Did he go a little far with the comments? Maybe, but I just don't get the backlash to this guy. So from then on, people are rooting against him. The same people who were pumping him up on golf Twitter are rooting against him at Colonial when he shoots 81 in the first round, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're a real world-class player or whatever. I just couldn't believe it, Danielle. It was so mean.
Yes, it
you
was.
Know, can't we just have, like, a story that we can all get behind? And,
yes.
And, you know, and by the way, the last time I checked on Google, 70 million people play in the world, golf. He's number 500 in the world. So he could say he's world-class.
Hey.
Anything. He is world-class. Let's get that clear. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world, you know, if you look at the whole world and all the people that play golf. So I'm Team Block all the way. I'm glad he's going to get another start at the Canadian Open next week. Good for him. I think it's a great story. And, you know, he might be a guy we see out there on the senior tour. You never
yeah.
know.
Yeah, and he's trying to qualify for the U.S. Open.
That's right.
Right?
With his son. He and his son is a high school senior or junior, and his son, he's posted some videos. Now, his son has Rory McIlroy's length. I don't know if he's got the rest of the game. His son has a swing speed of 133 miles an hour when he cranks it up there, which
Whoa.
Is way faster than the fastest recorded on tour last
Whoa.
Year. So, I mean, that's the talent there. So I think he's jealous of his son's swing speed as well, but that's a cool story. They're both going to be trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. He's, you know, someone asked him who Michael's wife would be rooting for. He said that she'd be rooting for him because he's a pro and he would actually make a check. So
oh.
that was a good line by him too. So this guy is content gold, Danielle. I tell you what, 3 days after the PGA Championship ended, the top four stories on our website were all Michael Block-related stories. And this is 3 days after the PGA Championship ended.
Exactly.
So this guy caught the nation's attention for a good reason. I'm not going to go sour on him because he said one little thing. I'm sorry. I think that's a bit much. Let's give him a little bit of pass and celebrate that he had the week of his life and he's having the year of his life right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. And now I'm also having the week of his life. Is one of the four guys who broke into the game about the same time. I think it was the same year. Victor
That's
Hovland,
right. That's right.
Matthew Wolf,
yep.
Colin Morikawa, Justin Suh. He's 25,
yep.
and now he is leading at the Colonial, the Memorial Tournament presented by Workday. You know, Jack
yep.
Nicklaus's tournament. That this is hot stuff.
This is pretty amazing, Danielle. And I hate to say it though, there's no chance he's going to win because I actually put $10 on him at the
oh,
start of the week.
Darn.
At 250-1 odds. So sorry, Michael, Justin, you're not going to win because I unfortunately jinxed you. But fingers crossed, I'm wrong about that because that would be an amazing story. You mentioned the vaunted class of 2019. This guy was held in the same exact regard as those other names you're mentioning, Morikawa, Hovland, Matt Wolf. You know, they all made their pro debut at the Travelers Championship up here near my home in Connecticut. It was a big hoopla. Maybe Matt Wolf probably got the most hoopla of the four, but Justin Suh was clearly on that level. It's taken him a few more years. Obviously, Matthew Wolf won right away. Morikawa won right away. Hovland won, I think, the following year. Obviously, Morikawa's won two majors. So, you know, these guys in Hovland, we've seen him in the final groups of these major, the last three major championships.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
These other guys have really lived up to that hype. Although Matthew Wolf's kind of fallen off and he's unlived now and we don't know what's going on with him. He's had some mental health stuff going on, unfortunately. But Justin, now to see him, took him a few extra years, but great season last year on the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, fully exempt this year, and he's taken advantage of it. We've seen some great performances from him. He was a 36-hole leader, I believe, at the Honda earlier this year, so he's been in this position before. Maybe the second time or third time, whatever it is the charm. He can handle it a little better than what he did then, but I think he was a top five at the Players' Championship, so this guy can play. And for whatever reason, it took a couple extra years for him to match up with his classmates there, but he's the real deal. And look, I'm certainly pulling for him this week, Danielle. I'd love to have a few extra bucks for the next Costco run.
There you go. Yes, for the next Costco run, which I'll be making today too. Now, you know,
yes.
Someone who played high school football told me that the hardest thing when you're a high school football player, you're the star, you're number one,
yeah.
You've been recruited, you're going to the college. And all of a sudden, you're a pipsqueak. Nobody, they don't care who you know, like, and so when you're, when you're any one of those four guys, you know, and you're playing college golf and you're hot and you're going on the tour, and then all of a sudden, you're not number one, you know, you're
right.
not the name.
Right.
And just having to kind of get used to the fact that you're at the bottom of the barrel and you got to work yourself back up. And you got to work really hard, and nobody cares much about you until you prove yourself. Just that
right.
alone is a lot to get used to. And then there's the travel. So maturing into it is what Justin Saw seems to be doing.
No, you make a great point there. And with golf, it's even lonelier than these other team sports. At least, you know, the phenom, the college star, whatever gets drafted, you know, in the NFL or the NBA, they have teammates now that hopefully at least some of them take them under their wing or whatever when they, you know, all
yeah.
of a sudden now, yeah, it's your job. You're traveling 30 weeks of the year or whatever. You're out there. It can get lonely unless you have people around you, whatever. And like you said, you're right. You're used to being like the king and now you're not the king. You know, some people, it takes a little while to get used to that for sure. I mean, that's why there's so few guys who ever really live up to, I mean, that's why, you go back to Tiger Woods or you look at LeBron, in the NBA, the fact that those guys actually exceeded the hype of all hype is just mind blowing because it's like, it's almost, it's impossible to think that someone could have that much hype and actually live up to it or even surpass it. So it's so, like you said, it's very tough. And then, yeah, if you get off to a slow start, then all of a sudden you think, what the heck? I'm used to winning. I'm used to dominating. Totally different mindset. And as we know in golf, it's the most susceptible probably of any sport to go into a slump. I mean, we look, all of a sudden Rory McIlroy is in a slump, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a few months ago, we're saying he's the best player in the world. Now we're like, oh, what's wrong with Rory? So golf, you can lose it so quickly. It could be just one little thing that's off. But yeah, you throw in all those other things, turning pro and all the transition that comes with it. Very tough. But, yeah, sometimes you just need a couple extra years. And some guys are, you know, a little more late bloomers. Like you said, he's only 24, 25. So he's still got plenty of time to develop into the player that people thought he was going to become.
I'm glad you brought up Rory because, you know, I get so tired of hearing he's resurging.
Right.
You know, leave the guy. Yes, I think he's number seven right now. I haven't seen the leaderboard in a couple of hours, but he's certainly with. And Ricky Fowler. Now, Ricky Fowler is resurging.
Exactly. Ricky Fowler is resurging. That's right. Rory McIlroy, you can't say that after two bad weeks or whatever. I mean, that's ridiculous. Ricky Fowler, though, it's been two or three bad years. And now he's back in the top 50 of the world ranking. We're seeing him finish. You know, he's not closing the door, but we're seeing him, you know, top 15, some top 10s. I think he only had one top 10 all of last year, and he's already got a few this year. So certainly, yes, resurging Ricky Fowler, it applies. Rory, not so much. Rory, it's tough because he's, look, we've seen what happened. He's, you know, he's talked an awful lot about the PGA Tour and LIV and all this stuff in the past year. Clearly, like, some of that's taken a toll on him. It sounds like he's maybe not going to talk as much about that stuff going forward. Mm-hmm. Probably smart. Mm-hmm. You know, and then to your point too, he's the guy who's always got so much pressure every time he tees up. So he's got to deal with a lot. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. He definitely has to deal with a lot. And it's got to be annoying when you have one bad week and everybody starts saying, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? If you're the number 50 player in the world, nobody cares.
You could have two
bad months and nobody would say anything. But when you have to hear those questions over and over again, like he does, and then take all the other questions about the state of the game and the tour versus live and all that, it's a lot to deal with. So no, yeah, I'm clearly not worried about Rory. The major thing, it's got to happen, you know, whether it's this year or next year or whatever. I'm not too worried about Rory. He'll be back soon.
It's like Hideki.
He might be back this week.
You never know, right? He's resurging.
Right. That's right. He's resurging this week. This is it. Huge comeback.
Hideki Matsuyama. You know, how long has it been since we've been talking about Hideki Matsuyama? You know, he's moving on up. He's on the uptick. That's another one. Another great word, uptick.
Yeah, I mean, look, when he won the Masters, we kind of thought, okay, because he's a guy who came with all the hype, right?
And
he right away was contending at majors, and he was starting to win, and, he got up to number two in the world, and he had the lead going to the back nine at the 2017 PGA, and it was the first one that Justin Thomas won. And had he won that week, he would have been number one in the world. He would have already had a major, a World Golf Championship, all these other things. He then had some injuries, fell back. Of course, he won the Masters. He's had some other injuries since then. Also winning the Masters as the first Asian-born golfer was such a huge deal. We were just talking about what Rory has to deal with. I did a podcast on this. I mean, the pressure that Hideki Matsuyama is on, I mean, it's another level. I mean, we've seen it with some of the other Japanese athletes like Ichiro Suzuki when he was on the Mariners. I mean, these guys have hundreds of media people following them to every event. It's crazy.
At Turtle Bay, when the women were playing their tournament at Turtle Bay here on Oahu, they had to open the ballroom up because one of the Japanese women, they had this contingent, 30 or 40 media outlets had demanded to come. Yeah. I totally understand.
Crazy. I remember. It was a few years ago. Ai Miyazato was a woman player who had incredible hype. She never quite lived up to it, but the attention. They said in Japan she was, bigger than any star in the U.S. basically. And then you had Ryo Ishikawa. Obviously, he was the young phenom for a while. He's still young, but he was this superstar for a few years. So Matsuyama has done better than all those people. He's held it up. So, again, that post-Masters, whatever you want to call it, hangover, whatever, it's lasted a bit, but now he's still only just turned 30. He's got plenty of golf left, plenty of game, and obviously we've seen it the first two rounds there. Unfortunately, because I bet on Justin Suh, I got to root against Hideki this weekend, but no, he looks fantastic this week, and this is a course he's played well at. He's won here before as well, so certainly not surprising to see his name back up.
No, 72-65, doing really, really well. I've got to talk to you. Brant Snedeker is back after surgery.
Mm.
That surgery, taking a piece of his hip to put it in his sternum, and it's an experimental surgery, hasn't been done often before. Yikes.
It's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. And so this surgeon apparently had done it one other time, and it was over 20 years ago, and it was actually another athlete, Steve McNair, the quarterback, former MVP for the Tennessee Titans. I remember he had chest issues, and he ended up having a shortened career, but this doctor did this experimental surgery, and it helped McNair. It helped at least extend his career a couple years. And so Brent Seneker basically was out of options. Nothing was working. And he begged this guy to do this surgery again. And the guy did it. And as you mentioned, I mean, you're taking a bone from the hip and cutting open the sternum and breaking it and then putting the bone from the hip into it. Sounds like, again, modern medicine just blows my mind. I mean, how they do these things, how they even conceive of these things. It's remarkable. And you know, he says that he's pretty much pain-free now. He had 5 or 6 years of being in awful chest pain. You know, every once in a while he'd have to just withdraw because it was so bad. And, you know, he took a few months off. He couldn't do anything because, as you can imagine, from that surgery, the recovery was tough. And now he's back in his first tournament, and he, you know, makes the cut easily. I'm very impressed. And it's funny, I'd kind of forgotten about Brent Seneca. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a great, great player, obviously, for many years, 9-time winner. You know, his last win was, I think, 5 years ago, but he shot a 59 at Greensboro along the way. One of the best putters, obviously, we've ever seen. So good for him. I mean, if this worked, I mean, he was just saying, look, I need to be pain-free. I don't even care if I can play golf again. But the guy pulled off the surgery, and obviously it looks like he did pretty well because Brent Snedeker is already playing the weekend this week.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And in the last couple of minutes that we have, I just need to talk about Billy Horschel. Because he stood up and, I mean, what, he shot an 84 in his opening round, an 84. I mean, it wasn't the worst. I think somebody else shot an 88. But
yes,
Billy's been around for a while, and you know, he's the kind of lovable guy, and he's wonderful. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, it's very odd because he came here as the defending champ of this event, and he goes out there and he shoots an 84, and you're kind of like, what the heck? And then not only that, but you never see a guy who shoots 84 then go take questions from the media. But not only did he did that, but he got up there. He was so candid. He was, you know, breaking down crying about the struggles he's had recently with his game and how he's working so hard and how he knows he's going to be back and bounce back. I think he's only 36 still. But it was just, you know, it was pretty amazing to see someone let you into their thought process like that and kind of be so vulnerable and admit to the stuff. It's what we were talking about earlier, Daniel. I mean, this game is so crazy. You can be on top of the world 1 week, and the next week you can be totally lost. And Billy Horschel's a little lost right now. Now, credit to him. He went out there. He answered these questions. He went back out there the next day. A lot of guys who shoot an 80-something are gone that first day because they know they're not going to make a cut. He went back out there. He was a couple under at one point during his round. He ended up giving a few back, but he shot a 74, much more respectable, obviously. But again, just the fact that he showed up and, you know, he was the defending champ. He didn't want to bow out like that. So good for him. I'm not really sure of the technical stuff that's going on. I think everything's okay with his family. I know he recently made another post about his wife being now, I think it's like 7 or 8 years sober. They've been open about that as well. You know, he's got kids, everything else. I think everything's good with him. He's just struggling with the game. And again, it's just amazing that a guy like in his prime, a guy's in great shape. He's a defending champ at this place, so he obviously plays great at Muirfield Village. And for him to have the struggles, again, just shows you how cruel this game can be and how fleeting, you know, it is. So good to see him hang in there. And again, I'm sure we'll see him bounce back. We'll see a resurgent Billy Horschel.
Yes, so the resurgent Billy Horschel. Yeah, I like that. All right. Well, you know what? When you share stuff like that, you know, difficulties, it helps other people. In fact, an LPGA player who is having a terrible day happened to hear Billy's comments. And she heard what he said about, you know, that golf is a difficult game. And she said, you know, I felt so much better. And we, you and I and anybody else who plays this game needs to remember that we tend to victimize ourselves mercilessly mentally.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, it's like,
yes.
I'm out here, I'm a turd, I'm whatever, you know, yes. I don't know what I'm, exactly. What's wrong with me? And all that, you know, she said, I was, you know, this game is cruel. This game is cruel,
yeah.
She said. And that is the bottom line. And sometimes you're on top of the world and sometimes you're not, you know? So it's really tough. And gosh, that's why when you share something as powerful as that, it's great for not just you, but it's good for other people to hear it so you don't feel so alone, those of us.
You're 100% right. And like, you know, I'm a weekend golfer, whatever. I had a bad round the other day. And like you said, Danielle, I'm kicking myself. I'm complaining to my wife. I'm saying, oh, my God, you know, what's going on? I stink. I never, you know, I was doing better at the range. And then I see Billy Horschel, one of the best players in the world, shoot an 84, and he's brought to tears. And you're right. It brings it all in perspective. And you're like, okay, if it can happen to Billy Horschel, then I can't be beating myself up. You know, I don't practice. It's not my job. It's nothing like that. But you're right, Danielle. We do all take it too seriously. I got my big trip coming up at the end of the month. I take it way too seriously. But sometimes it's good. You know, we watch these guys and we think we can learn from them. And with their swing, it's very hard because they're just so good. They're on a different level. But we can learn from their mental game and everything else. And this is a perfect example of that, to realize that we do stink. These guys are the best, and they can even have bad rounds. So let's just keep that in perspective.
Yeah, it's, you know, yes, exactly. Keep it in perspective, and you know, enjoy the world around you. You're on a beautiful golf course.
Exactly.
Where, you know, you haven't been practicing. You haven't taken that lesson that you've told yourself you're going to take. You know,
exactly.
I mean, all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, these guys work all the time on their body, on their game, on their mental game, on their goodness knows what all game. You know, there's so much going on in this game of golf that gives them the edge, and we certainly don't have it. And by the way, I like how you pointed out in your column, Tiger Woods shot an 85 at Muirfield one year.
I know. I said it happens to the best of them. Literally the best of them. Tiger Woods shot an 85. I'll never forget that. 2015, that was during his struggles, obviously. And what happened a few years later? He won the Masters.
So, there you go.
There you go, Billy. Hang in there, Billy. You'll be back.
Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. He writes one of my favorite Golf Digest columns. It's called The Grind. And anything you're selling that you can share with us or buying? Have you made a decision yet?
Well, David Lipsky came out yesterday. He's a big world traveler. He said he had alcohol in some, I think it was in Vietnam, where there was a barrel of alcohol and there was a snake. I don't know if the snake was alive or dead in the bottom of the barrel. And he drank this alcohol. He said it was disgusting. I'm definitely selling that. I mean, look, I give him credit for being trying things, but You couldn't pay me $1 million to take a sip of whatever he was drinking. So I'm definitely going to sell snake juice or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the laughs. Thanks for the insight.
You guys, thanks for having me on, Danielle. I really appreciate it. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and we have Cassandra Shriver scheduled. I'm not sure. She may, you know, she's got so much going on. She's the president of LPGA Amateurs Hawaii chapter, and I hope to reach out to her and get a hold of her, and we'll try. Otherwise, I'll tell you all about LPGA Amateurs Hawaii chapter after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Yes, Mike, it is. Rayner has helped thousands of Hawaii homeowners improve their home's beauty and safety with a new door over the years. We specialize in helping people get the right door so they can enjoy their door now while adding to the value and security of their home.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rayner Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Well, Cassandra Shriver, the president of the LPGA Amateurs Hawaii chapter. I thought I saw the phone ringing. It's not. So, LPGA Amateur Golf Association. It's an inclusive group of women made up of over 15,000 members of all golf abilities. There are 130 global chapters, and in Hawaii, we have a chapter. In fact, I'm a founding member of the LPGA Amateur Golf Association Hawaii chapter. Cassandra does everything from organizing national events, helping to organizing play opportunities like this weekend. They're playing at Royal Hawaiian Country Club on the windward side of Oahu. And it's not just, you know, the lowest score that'll earn you the bragging rights. There's a game they're going to be playing. And I've not heard of this one before, but I really, really like it. I think we should all play Trouble or Disaster, whichever one you call it. You get a point for being out of bounds. You get a point for going in the water hazard. You get a point for going in the bunker. You get a point for three putting, leaving the ball in the bunker, hitting from one bunker to another. That's worth 2 points. Four putting gets you three, and a whiffed ball is 4 points. So Cassandra sent out an email to all the members, of course, trying to find out who exactly was going to be playing today at the lovely Royal Hawaiian Country Club. And she said, I'll bring the golf balls. And that way you don't have, I'll bring hundreds of them. And that's for the people with a phobia about losing golf balls. You'll be losing hers. Isn't that great? But on a really serious note, of course, the LPGA Amateurs Hawaii chapter also helps raise money for the cause, chipping away at domestic violence. So there is a tournament that's going to be happening very soon. And that is raising money for chipping away at domestic violence and organizing, you know, everything from new shirts that you've got to, you know, for the members. And it's really, really good. If you'd like to get in touch with somebody at the LPGA Amateur Hawaii chapter, gee, I'm thinking of giving you my email address, and I'm happy to. It's dctucker808@gmail.com. And then you can get in touch with me, because ladies, what you really get is the camaraderie. You know, you and nobody's great. It's not like there's this massive competition unless you want there to be one. You know, everybody kind of, there's people are just starting in the game. We organize clinics. I shouldn't say we, because I haven't really done anything since my back was injured. But there are clinics for long drive, for chipping, for putting, all of these things. And then you get together with the ladies. It's kind of like Women's Golf Day. You get together, you have a great time on the course, and you're laughing because everybody flubs it. Everybody has a hard time at some point. Some people aren't having a hard time. They're having a great time, and you get to cheer them on. You know, it's that kind of feeling, because there's a lot of cheering for each other, a lot of laughter, and then you get to go to, you know, the clubhouse and have whatever, whether it's a beverageum or something like water, because you're not going to drink that day because you're driving. All right. So I hope to have Cassandra on in the near future. In the meantime, that's all about LPGA Amateurs Hawaii chapter and the president of the American Junior Golf Association and the founder and publisher of Global Golf Post, Jim Nugent, is going to be with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com. MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, Jim Nugent, President, American Junior Golf Association, founder and publisher, Global Golf Post, Global Golf Post Business, and now Global Golf Post Women. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle, and thank you for having me on again.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Global Golf Post Women. Tell us about what your vision is for this section or this issue of your magazine.
You know, there are 6 million women playing golf in the United States, and that's up by almost 800,000 since COVID began in 2020. And yet there's no content service directed exclusively at female golfers. And when we discovered this late last year, we decided, well, if no one's going to do it, then we will. So in February, we launched a new subscription service called GGP Woman. We're about 90 days old. And I have to tell you, it is performing way better than we could possibly have imagined as we were trying to conceive this concept. It's been warmly embraced by women, by state golf associations, by the national golf organizations. And you referenced the LPGA Amateur Association. They're great friends of ours, and they're supporting it. And I think the Hawaii chapter members would love our site.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And now tell us what kind of articles you have envisioned for this, the subject matter.
We're just telling the best stories about women's golf. Some of the women that we write about might play for a living, but they're not prominent LPGA players. Some of them play in an elite level. They might play in the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur or the U.S. Women's Mid-Amateur. Some of them work in the industry, such as Amali Solomon, who oversees NBCU's golf broadcasting efforts. And some of them are just women who no one's ever heard of, but they're passionate about the game, and they give back to the game with their time their talent or their treasure. It's a broad, very diverse mix of women that we have written about and that we will continue to write about.
You have one of my friends on from Scotland. She's going to be writing specifically for, I enjoy her writing very much, Lewin Mayer.
Lewin is a treasure. She is a pioneering female golf journalist from Scotland. She's been with us from the beginning. She distinguishes us, and I'm very, very fortunate to have her on our masthead.
Yeah, and Steve Eubanks, he's been an LPGA correspondent for a long time. So he Emilia Migliaccio and Julie Williams, Curtis Cup team member, is also going to be writing for you. She's been with Golf Week for a long time.
Julie has covered the women's game for Golf Week and other publications for a long time. Amelia is who you're referring to as a likely Curtis Cup team player. She has played the Curtis Cup before. And very recently, just a couple of weeks ago, she led her Wake Forest Demon Deacons to the Women's NCAA Championship.
Yes.
Everything that Amelia did in her life from age 10 was designed to prepare her to play professionally. And in the middle of COVID, she decided that that wasn't her path in golf. She wants to be a journalist. And so her first job is with GGP Woman, and we're thrilled to have her as part of our team.
That's wonderful. I love the insight that she'll bring to her writing because she knows the inside of the game. It's why I want to talk to people on the show to take advantage of what they've been through, to share what their concerns were or what their ups and downs are so that we can relate to them and grow through that.
She's done some wonderful work for us already, not the least of which was a profile of one of Annika Sorenstam's new ventures, trying to help young ladies who are coming out of school to turn professional. So we're thrilled to have Amelia on board. She's a delightful young lady.
Yeah. So can you give me, let's see, you without ads, is there a difference? Like Global Golf Post, it has two versions. You've got the GGP Plus with GGP Biz. They're both paid subscriptions. This will also be?
This is a paid subscription. It costs $60 a year, although in our early stages, we're offering 20% off. $48 for an annual subscription.
Awesome.
But this service does have advertising. We've partnered with two very important companies in golf. One is the Callaway Golf Company, who I believe has the greatest market share of equipment purchases by women. And we've also partnered with Golf Galaxy, which has 97 golf retail stores throughout the United States. And so they very quickly bought into the vision of trying to create something specifically aimed at the female demographic, and I'm fortunate and proud to call them partners in this new venture.
Excellent. Yeah, and women are always looking for something, you know, that's new and beautiful and fabric that keeps the sun away from our skin.
You know, we did a profile recently of a woman in Chicago by the name of Susan Hess. All by herself, she's built a women's fashion brand called Golf Teeny. It's almost 20 years old, and when she got into it, she had no idea what she was doing. And now she has one of the best-known and most successful women's apparel brand in the game.
Wow.
And that's just an example of the kinds of stories that we're telling at GGP Woman.
That's what I was looking for, and I'd love to talk with her. Maybe I can reach out and see if she'll be on the show. Susan Hess, Golf Teeny. We'll have to look for that online. Yes. Awesome. Now, as president of the American Junior Golf Association, I was, talking to you about the LPGA tournament that's being played this week in New Jersey. And you're keeping an eye on things as the American Junior Golf Association president. Who are you following?
Well, we've got the AJGA has, I think, 20 young ladies playing in this event. It's a brand new first time event. It's a special event being played at Liberty National, which overlooks the Statue of Liberty. Unusual format. The girls are playing modified Stableford, and today they get to play with the pros. The girl that I have my eye on almost always when she plays now is this young lady named Anna Davis from Southern California, who has become a golf pal of mine. She is most noted for winning the Augusta National Women's Amateur year before this, last year in 22. A striking golfer. She's tall. She swings at it left-handed. She's got a golf swing that reminds me of Fred Couples. This young lady has a ton of talent and an extremely bright future. I just checked the scoreboard before you had me on. She's in second place in the AJGA division of this tournament right now and closing on the leader very fast.
Wow, that's fantastic. I couldn't find the leaderboard for amateurs. So that's I'm so glad you have that information. The leaderboard is pretty phenomenal. Minji Lee, Cheyenne Knight, Lydia Ko, Jin-Yong Ko, Rose Zhang. Now, Rose just turned professional. And are you seeing, you must have followed her career.
Oh, sure. Yeah, she's arguably the greatest female collegiate player ever in America. In a short period of time, she only played for 2 years at Stanford. She recently won again the NCAA championship. She's this year's Augusta National Women's Amateur champion. She's on the front page of the leaderboard, and it wouldn't surprise anybody in golf if she were to win this week. It would be her first tournament and her first LPGA win. And I believe it would grant her immediate full-time membership on the LPGA Tour.
Yes. Her first professional tournament. Wouldn't that be something? I wouldn't be surprised either. Yeah. And Brooke Henderson, Atia Titikul, Aditi Ashok, Esther Henselite, and Lauren Hartledge are all on that front page, as it were. Aditi Ashok and above, they haven't teed off yet. It's a beautiful golf course. Have you played there before?
I have. We have an AJGA event there every year, a big fundraiser, and it's a fabulous golf course. It's a beautiful golf course, and you know, you spend half the day with your neck turned staring at the Statue of Liberty from all kinds of different angles. So it's a really, really special place to be able to play.
How do kids get into the AJGA?
You know, you can sign up at AJGA.com. We have some 8,000 kids who are members. Probably 1,000 of those are from outside the United States or at least international players. Most kids start at age 12 or 13. And it's about competition. Our reason for being is to enable kids to learn to compete at a high level. And if they're interested and if they're able to get the ball in the hole fast enough, it'll lead to a college scholarship. So that's what the organization does. It prepares kids for college and competition. Rose Zhang came through it. Anna Davis is going through it. Every good player in America right now, boy or girl, men or women, played on the AJGA Tour in their youth.
So somebody from the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association could step into the AJGA and be comfortable?
You know, the Hawaii Junior Golf Association is very, very good, very strong, and much of that's due to the efforts of my friend Mary B. Porter over a long period of time. But the AJGA is a higher level of golf. It's a more intense level of competition. And many kids, you know, will start at the state level and graduate to the AJGA.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us. It's been a long time since we've had a conversation. Good talking with you.
Thank you for having me on again.
Thank you.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, and author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwelei. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell.
Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
MD Restoration,
24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
You know, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Don Crozier, the general manager of Volcano Golf Course. And I just wanted to, because she doesn't have a lot of time, she's checking in golfers. I told her you can have them cheering in the background. Volcano Golf Course and the Volcano Winery have the Tea and Taste coming up. It's a new collaboration celebrating the uniqueness of Volcano's golf and the flavorsome wines. So Volcano Golf Course, Hawaii Island's first. It is, by the way, the oldest golf course on Hawaii Island. I didn't know that. Partnered with Volcano Winery. So it's Tea and Taste. And you go in, you can, you know, pair golfing and tasting of the finest local wines. I think it's a great idea. When you're having a great round of golf, you have a, you know, glass of wine. That'll take care of that. And you'll probably play better. You'll be relaxed. So, as Dawn said in the press release, we love to explore new partnerships that support Volcano community members and businesses.
Hi, this is George from HOI Media. Do you own or manage a business? You want to create top-of-mind awareness and brand your business. Radio will direct potential customers to your business location or your social media platforms. HOI Media has 17 FM radio stations on Oahu, Maui, and Kauai. Because we are locally owned and operated, our rates are very reasonable. Radio is free. Radio is local. Radio is on 24/7. Radio is on air. Radio is online. Radio works. Let us show you how we can make your cash register ring. For more information, please visit our website at hoiemedia.com. That's hoiemedia.com.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, author Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. He attended Indiana University on an Evans scholarship. And we're going to be talking about that Evans scholarship. We haven't in a while. His book about Tiger and Phil, of course, is out. It's about their squabbles, their duels. And originally it was about their softening toward each other, which may not be the case any longer. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob Herrig.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's Saturday morning and we're talking golf. Now, you're at Memorial.
Yes, I am. I am at Memorial.
Yeah.
A rare, really nice weather week here. It usually almost always rains at least one of the days, and so far, so good. It's been a good weather, hot, but very good weather.
Good weather and a fascinating leaderboard and things that have been happening there. I mean, you're seeing Brent Snedeker for the first time in I don't know how long. We've got Hideki Matsuyama has just moved up into the number one spot. You know, he's playing lights out, and so is Justin Suh, who was in the lead. This is a lot of fun. Patrick Cantlay is up there too, and we're hearing a lot about operations and all kinds of stuff. It must be a fascinating media center too.
Yeah, and listen, when you get an audience with Jack Nicklaus at the start of the week, that always adds to it as well. I think we are, you know, realizing probably how much we've taken that for granted over the years. He's just an endless source of information. He's pretty up to date on things. He has a lot of good opinions and thoughts on the various things in the game. And then, you know, they usually get a good field here anyway, but this is now a designated event. It means they have the top five in the world. I think seven of the top 10 and 35 or six of the top 50. So, you know, with the U.S. Open in two weeks, it's, you know, it's a really good tournament in that regard as well.
It is. Now, you know, I had a wonderful experience with Jack Nicklaus, and he and his partner, it was at a skins tournament at Ka'anapali Golf Course, and there was the media center, and of course it was very relaxed and very comfortable, and he and his partner were sitting on the dais, and we had asked our questions, and the mic was still on, and they were kind of strategizing about how they were going to play. Now, I don't know if he was doing this on purpose, but all of a sudden he looked up, he goes, "Oh, you guys are still here." But it was, he's got a great sense of humor.
He does, and he also is very comfortable in his own skin. And Jack is, you know, I think a lot of us appreciate how good he's been to us. He's one who sort of seems to enjoy the engagement and appreciates, you know, the attention, and understands that, you know, people are curious what he has to say. Yep. You know, and I think that's it's an interesting trait. You know, like, I think that's what, you know, the bottom line to it. I mean, some of these guys, you know, it takes a little while to learn that. It's like they might get a little bit, you know, annoyed or frustrated by the media, and it's like a guy like Rory or certainly Tiger or Phil or, you know, any of the top names in the game, you want their opinion because of their stature. You know, their opinion matters. So it's not always just about peppering them about their game. And I think Jack's understood that best and better than anybody over the years.
What was one of the hot topics? Since I wasn't able to be there, I don't know what to quiz you on.
Well, he... you know, it ran the gamut, frankly. He talked about his own career. He got asked about Liv. He got asked about, you know, look, it was a good question. You know, does it bother you that you don't have the reigning PGA champion in Brooks and you don't have the reigning Open champion in Cam Smith?
Okay, yeah.
He's got a great field. He's got a great field, but he doesn't have those guys.
What did he say?
He doesn't have two of the last three major winners. And he started it by saying, you know, look, I don't consider them part of the game anymore. And then he amended it to say, he said, look, that sounds nasty. I don't mean it to. He goes, they're not on the PGA Tour. He goes, this is a PGA Tour event. We're doing the best we can with PGA Tour players who are eligible. And he goes, I've got nothing against those guys for doing what they did. And told a story about how he sent Brooks a letter of congratulations or a note of congratulations after he won the PGA. But, you know, obviously Jack is on the side of the PGA Tour. I'm surprised when people push back on that. I'm like, what would you think he would be? The Memorial is its 48th year. Are you going to support an entity that's going to take players away from it?
No,
you know, and also he has a big role in the Honda Classic. It's not going to be called that anymore, but that tournament benefits his hospital in South Florida, and him and his wife are, you know, they're not tournament hosts, but they're big in the tournament. So So there's two tournaments on tour that he's got, you know, some direct involvement with. And, you know, but yet he understands why LIV exists. Jack was part of a group years ago, you know, gosh, almost 60 years ago, where the PGA Tour split from the PGA of America. Now, some people have tried to equate that to the same thing, and it's not. It wasn't starting a rival tour. It was just the tour players of that era wanted their own sort of guidance and governance. They didn't want to be under the same guidance as the people who were also making decisions for the club pros. And so, they split, and that's why there's two organizations now, PGA of America, PGA Tour. People to this day still get it confused and don't recognize they're separate organizations. So in any case, you know, obviously I think Jack knows a little bit about that subject.
Right.
He's been around it for a long time and understands it.
Yeah, the membership of the PGA Tour and the membership of the PGA of America have completely different needs. You know, goals. It's just different. So naturally,
no question.
Right. It just makes sense.
Yep.
It'd be strange to have them under the same. So it wasn't. Yeah, like you said, it wasn't like starting up a competing tour entity. Yeah, absolutely. Well, go ahead, please.
No, yeah, I was just going to structure it differently. You know, and look, it was very controversial at the time. I mean, I don't want to detract from that. It had a lot of people not like, you know, with Jack and Arnold mostly and Gardner Dickinson, who, you know, were behind this movement, and they looked at the situation and they thought that their interests were not being sort of looked out for as best, and that meant in terms of, you know, playing opportunities, purses, you know, if you're trying to, you know, also look out for club pros. I mean, how is running professional golf tournaments for touring pros, how are those two things going to mesh? And so I think now, looking back on all these years, it makes a lot of sense. At the time, it was controversial, but it wasn't the same as like starting a new tour and plucking players away from that tour and keeping them from, you know, those guys now can't play in the original tour. Like, not anywhere near the same in that regard.
Yeah. plucking players away with copious amounts of money.
Exactly.
Yes. Yep. Yes. I just wanted to, anything other than LIV that strikes you that he talked about?
Well, you know, he's a big proponent of the golf ball rollback. That's controversial because I would say most of the players out here are not in favor of that.
Yep.
You know, it's being discussed now, and it's a couple years away from happening, if at all. But that thing's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, because there's the possibility, the very, very strong possibility, if it does happen, that you play the majors or three of the majors with a rollback ball, but the tour doesn't. And, you know, if they don't, that's going to be awkward. It's going to be a huge subject in the game because there are rules that the tours play by that most of us don't, but that would be huge. And there's differences from week to week. I mean, it's very rare that a major would play lift clean in place or preferred lies.
Right.
But it's allowed in the rule book under weather conditions. The tour does it all the time. That's not that big of a change. But if you're going to play the Canadian Open one week and you're allowed to have the ball they play now, but then the next week you go to the U.S. Open and you're going to have to play a ball that's dialed back, a percentage, that means you're going to hit it 10 yards shorter or 15 yards shorter with a driver, that's a problem, you know, and that's not that easy of an adjustment. I don't blame the players if they're upset about that, but that's why they all need to get on board, because I don't think it would be a good idea for there to be different rules. But yet it's pretty clear the USGA and the RNA are going to go to it, you know, if not in 2026, and at some point they believe they've had to draw a line in the sand with elite players and how far the golf ball goes. And the players themselves are not on board with that. So it's a pretty monumental decision that's going to come down here at some point, probably in the next year or so.
I get what they're upset about. At the same time, I understand why they want to roll it back to save the golf courses. It's like it's preserving Augusta National. And it's, in the UK, there are courses that are just played shorter. They're just, and if you go too long and Marion becomes obsolete, I mean, I realize that. So that's the future. I kind of get what they're trying to do from the point of view of the golf courses. Yeah.
I mean, and obviously this only impacts a small number of players, and that's why they say, why would we want to change the ball? Well, we'd only be changing it for a small number of players. You and I would still play a regular golf ball, but what it would mean is that you wouldn't have to stretch out some of these bunkers as far. You might not have to narrow fairways. And so if they can do that, they're going to be playing the courses kind of the same way they are now. Instead of, let's say you had a 540-yard par 4. I mean, think how crazy that is. That's a par 5.
It's crazy.
But for these guys, a 540-yard par 4 is still a driver and like a mid-iron, and maybe even a 6-iron. And so, okay, let's say now they dial back the driver and they're going to hit it 15 yards less. Well, maybe they shorten the hole by 15 yards, and then it's the same thing. But at least the hole isn't as long. At least you don't have to build tees as far back. Maybe you don't have to grow the rough so high.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. One of the arguments is, well, we just need to grow more rough, or we need to make the fairways narrow. Well, is that all? Is that what we want? I mean, at some of these golf courses, when it goes into the rough, your only choice is to chip it out. That's no fun either. You want to see the skill. That's why Augusta is so great, because off the tee, you're allowed to miss. And it's the recovery shot that we kind of like get geared up for. You have a chance to play a shot from the rough or from the trees. Obviously, you're going to have a much harder time controlling it. But when you go into deep rough, there's it's not even a matter of skill sometimes. It's just a matter of, you're guessing as to how much you can gouge it out of there.
Yeah,
I just think it's an amazing issue. But Jack's been talking about rolling back the ball for 30 years. It still hasn't happened.
Well, we shall see. When is it supposed to come up again for a vote?
Yeah, they have what's called a comment period, and so I think that's going to last all summer, and they're going to take in all the information. And my guess is we won't hear anything one way or the other until sometime next year. And then it would still be until 2026 before it would be implemented. Mm. So there'd be a long run up to that, and guys would probably have to get used to it. But then the question becomes: it's a local rule, right? So does the PGA Tour adopt it? There's a lot of local rules in the rule book. One of them that came into play a few years ago was, when you and I play, if we hit a ball out of bounds, we're allowed to bring it out to the fairway equidistant from where it went out of bounds, and we add 2.
Right.
So in other words, we're hitting 4 from that spot. It's the same as if we re-teed it, hit a tee shot out to there, and now we're lying 3. Well, in the pro game, they don't do that. They don't enact the local rule. You must, if you hit one out of bounds, you have to hit another shot from where you hit the first one. And that makes sense. That makes sense. But for you and me, it's a time saver. Like if we didn't realize the ball was out of bounds, now we don't have to go all the way back to the tee. We can still drop one out there. It's probably the way it should be for most players. But again, it's in the rule book. They can do it. The tours can use range finders if they want. They elect not to. The PGA of America does, so they were able to do it at the PGA Championship. So these are examples of rules that are in the book that sometimes they don't enact. This one is one that I think would have the biggest difference if everybody didn't go along with it.
It's amazing that one sport is our sport, golf, the one sport that always has some controversial rule issue, that it seems like we've always got something coming up.
Yeah, and it keeps people on their toes. And I think, listen, one of the things about it though is like I think the average guy who doesn't follow golf that closely kind of gets frustrated by some of the rules and some of these things. you know, and there's they've tried, I think, to implement a little bit more common sense in the rules. You know, like if you mistakenly strike the ball on the putting green, you didn't mean to. It used to be a penalty. Now it's not. You're allowed to put it back. I mean, that kind of makes sense. You know, like it just seemed way too penal. Then there's the scorecard issues that still have people scratching their head. The whole world at a golf tournament saw what you shot. You had a walking scorer. TV was chronicling it. You get in and you write down the wrong number by accident and you're stuck with that number, or you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. If the number was low, why not just change it and get it right? But, you know, these are things that I think, you know, the golf purists think the scorecard and believe that the scorecard really is sacrosanct and that you've got to get it right. But I think that's the case when you and I are out there playing. But in the pro tournament where there's a walking official, you've got other people in the group, you've got TV keeping track, you know, can't we just get it right and move on?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So rules are an interesting part of the game that some people don't understand and causes some grief. But, you know, it's a complicated game that way. It's a sport played across multiple acres and, mostly you police yourself and not everything is going to always make sense.
Not everything makes sense. Absolutely. And it's part of it is keeping the history of the game into the now, into the future. So we don't lose that. Before we talk about the wonderful program that you had an opportunity to be a part of, I just wanted to really quickly mention that there's going to be a qualifying site on Monday, June 5th, many of them. And Michael Block and 14 LIV golf players, they're in it, and Luke Donald and Zach Johnson and Jeff Ogilvy, they're all going to try to get into the U.S. Open. But Cameron Kucher is 15, and he's going to try to qualify. That blows my mind. He must be really good.
Yeah, well, he made it out of a local qualifier.
Yeah.
He went to local qualifying, and he shot a good score and got out. And he's playing at the one, I believe, in Boynton Beach on Monday.
Yes.
I ran into his dad just on the putting green yesterday, and I asked him about it. Said, yeah, they're all pretty excited. It would be really cool. This is going to be Matt Kuchar's 20th U.S. Open. So he's in. I mean, he's exempt, so he's in. And his son's got 36 holes on money to try to join him. It's kind of cool if that happens.
It's magnificent. I mean, but he's 15.
Yeah.
They're 15. Getting better and better as time goes on. It's just, so you went to Indiana University on an Evans Scholarship. We have about 4 minutes. Tell us about the Evans Scholarship, because I think this is so cool.
Yeah, listen, it's a great program that probably is doesn't get enough attention. You know, it was generally in the Midwest. I grew up in the Chicago area, and I caddied at a local club for years, like when I was a teenager. And, you know, a big carrot that I learned about early on was this Evans Scholarship, which is a caddy scholarship. It's a 4-year tuition deal. It's incredible. And the program has grown. I mean, it's gotten bigger. They've expanded it now to places outside of the Midwest. There's several schools on the East Coast and the West Coast that have Evans Scholars. And, you know, the basic requirements are you're a caddy at a club for a minimum of 2 years. You have to have, you know, decent grades. You have to show some financial need. And it's completely funded through the Evans Scholarship Foundation is part of the Western Golf Association. The Western Golf Association runs the BMW Championship, for example, which is a playoff event. It used to be the Western Open back in the day. And back in the day, the Western Open was like a major.
Yeah.
You know, it used to rotate around the country. And, you know, the founder of the program, Chick Evans, you know, he He was a lifelong amateur. He was the first player to win the U.S. Amateur and the U.S. Open in the same year.
Wow.
He did that in 1916. And several years later, he had the opportunity to make some, I believe it was instructional things that he was going to get paid for. And he couldn't take the money, and it was suggested that he start a scholarship, caddy scholarship. And he did it at Northwestern. So the first two Evans scholars went to Northwestern. You can imagine like funding an education at Northwestern, a private school like that. And that's what the Evans scholars do. You know, there's probably 18 or 20 schools that have a chapter house now. And yeah, it's just an impressive program. You know, it's just really neat. And the way they raise money, obviously they do it through the BMW championship, but also through a lot of donations. And, you know, I couldn't say more good about it. You know, a lot of my best friends today were guys I went to school with who were caddies. You know, we sort of grew up in that environment. It's kind of, you know, interesting. I went into a career where I write about golf. You know, I mean, it's just it's a neat program. And I sort of encourage anybody to study up on it if they get a chance. I mean, I don't think it's too big in Hawaii. You know, you have to have the ability to have caddies and that's harder to do nowadays. You know, it's a lot of clubs want the cart revenue, or they don't want to fund the caddy program, which is hard. But, you know, I guess there's enough out there still that the program is still able to thrive.
It's wonderful. If you're interested, wherever you're listening, Evans, EVANS scholarship. Google it. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated. We could do a whole show together. You know, we just talk. Senior golf writer for Sports Illustrated and author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. Thanks for being inside the clubhouse with me. It's been too long. I miss you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. Dawn Crozier, operator, the pro shop. She's the general manager. Volcano Golf Course. And so much is going on at Volcano. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, KORL, YNI, Honolulu.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Yes, Mike, it is. Rainer has helped thousands of Hawaii homeowners improve their home's beauty and safety with a new door over the years. We specialize in helping people get the right door so they can enjoy their door now while adding to the value and security of their home.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Don Crozier, General Manager, Volcano Golf Course. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, good morning, Danielle. Nice to talk to you. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and I was talking about I had to do something about the Volcano Golf Course and Volcano Winery reveal, tea and taste. And so I kind of did a little bit of a reveal about how this is working out, but I want to, before we go back to that, I need to talk about all the new equipment that's arrived at Volcano Golf Course.
Oh, we're so excited. We just got 40 new golf carts, brand new. They're beautiful, and we're so excited. So they came in about a week ago, and we had a really busy Memorial Day weekend, and we just want to make sure that the word is out that we have golf carts. You can actually ride and not walk.
That's what I was trying to say, but I didn't want to spoil the, you know, drama of the new fleet of carts. It's in. And you're also starting something up too, club play and tournaments?
Yes. So now that we have carts, we're welcoming all the clubs in, you know, on the island to come over, even from Oahu, whatever. We can do groups now. We can start doing booking tournaments. So we're really excited to get going. And, you know, a big mahalo to all of those who have supported us through this, come up and walked. And, you know, a few of the clubs have come up, some of them walking, some of them making sure that they get the few carts that we had first thing in the morning. So I just want to make sure that they know how much we appreciate that and how much we look forward to having them grow and come up and play more often.
And that's wonderful. Hawaii Island's oldest golf course is not only open for play after being closed, it's the oldest golf course on the Big Island. So it's not only open, now there is golf carts. So you can go, you can cruise in a brand new golf course, golf cart on the golf course. Volcano Golf Course, and I didn't know there was a Volcano Winery.
Yeah, so just down the street, it's actually like within walking distance because it's less than a mile. From the course is Volcano Winery, and it is so cute. It's the southernmost winery in the United States. They have a variety of wines. They do some honey meads, and they also do some estate teas. So we paired with them, pun intended, and to do a tea and taste. So you can come up here to the golf course. We have a 5-hole loop, so it doesn't take very long to do. We actually have two choices. You can play the front 5 holes or you can play the back 5 holes. And then we give you a coupon and you can go to the winery. And the winery is so generous that you don't even have to use it that day. So if you don't have enough time, you can come back and spend more time with them later on. So for our residents, it's $25. And for our non-residents, it's $35. And then we also have a 5-hole cart rate for those people who don't want to walk the 5 holes. But it's really great, and they're such good partners. And if you don't have very much time but you want to get an experience doing a little bit of everything that we have to offer up in this area, that's a really great way to do it.
So let me see now. I can go in for $25 if I live on Makamaaina. That means you live here. And it's only $35 for visitors. You get to play 5 holes of golf, okay? And mm-hmm. you'll be walking, and a little bit more if you're going to ride the cart. There's a cart fee, but walking, it's just $25 for Kamaaina, and you go to the Volcano Golf Course, you check in, and then you play those 5 holes, and then you go over to the winery, and you get wine. That's
yes,
or estate teas or mead.
So you get all of their wine tastings. So they have 6 different tastings. And on top of that, you get their estate tea tasting as well.
That's wonderful. Do they have anything to eat with that?
So they do have a very nice cheese and cracker platter.
Wow.
They do have a lot of really great different items from the island. So there's some salts that you can get. They have delicious cookies. They have all kinds of souvenirs and different things up there. Some beautiful, beautiful pictures of the volcano. So it's just a really great, cute place. Definitely worth the time and the visit.
That's wonderful. It's fantastic. How are your golfers doing? Are they like waiting for you to sign them in?
Oh, yeah, we're really excited. The carts have definitely helped. You know, we're telling people, please book a tee time now instead of just walking in. Really exciting, though, we did have one of our loyal supporters who made a hole-in-one a few weeks ago. So that's in the Kalu calendar if anybody wants to check that out. Big shout-out to Janelle. And she was very excited. So there's a lot going on here. The course is in fantastic shape. Just remind people that if it's raining in Hilo, it might not be up here. Give us a call, because right now we're looking at some gorgeous blue skies.
Wow. Yeah, Don Crozier is general manager, Volcano Golf Course. It sits between the two volcanoes. A new fleet of carts and ready for club play and tournaments. And there's the tea and taste at Volcano Golf Course. You got to go. All right. Don, thanks so much for...
Oh, thank you. And don't forget to check out our website, volcanogc.com.
VolcanoGC, that's like Volcano Golf Course, volcanogc.com. Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, mahalo, Danielle. Have a wonderful day.
You
Good
too.
Talking to you.
Volcano is open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. You know, it's hurricane season, started June 1st, of course. So now you got to get kind of serious about, not kind of, you got to get serious about being ready for just about anything. So Aloha Power Equipment's new megastore is right next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile. They also have their Waipahu store. They put power at your fingertips. It's Aloha Power Equipment. So if, you know, you get knocked out, no power, goodness knows how long. You know, you just want to make sure that you have everything ready to get your home safe. You just need to go on over there, because I know they can help. And they'll be able to talk with you about the folks at Aloha Power Equipment, because they know a whole lot more than I do about what they can offer to make your house safe. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration, whether it's from flood, inside or out of the house, flood or fire disaster, you need help immediately. It's happened to me. MD Restoration is on it at any time of the day, right away, night, right away. If disaster strikes your home, your office, call MD Restoration. Licensed contractors, they can do your cleanup and then they can do your repair. 528-3434. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful look, maximum security, your first safety zone when that door just shuts. Perfect time now, 676-3667. Check out their garage door designs at HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com. We're honored to have the support and the aloha of the Aloha Section PGA. Thank you so much for all you do with our golfers who go to you for help. And, you know, if you need a lesson, as we were talking about earlier, you should really get in touch with the Aloha Section PGA. Find out who the PGA nearest you is. CyPack for cybersecurity, for your home, for your business, more importantly. But, you know, whatever, maybe you want to connect your business with your home. That's CyPack. Cybersecurity, and you can go see them online at cypac.com, C-Y-P-A-C.com, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Easy to reach them. Their number is 861-9595, CyPac for cybersecurity. I thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. If you're still checking out where you'd like to play a round of golf, you can, we've got tee times for you right here. There's one at 9:45 at Maui Nui. Wailea Gold has a 9:50. And Just a reminder, the Like Like is going to be closed tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to Monday morning, 5 a.m. They're doing some flood remedial work. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.